What?
Shouldn't we start?
So what?
The episode.
I am recording, dude. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You just sit there. Don't worry your pretty head about it, anything right there. I got it taken care of.
All right.
All right, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast. Your daily, your weekly, your weekly look at the local and international metal and alternative scene. Listen, Mansoor, we have a lot to get through. Okay, there's no time for an introduction. We don't have even have a time for an introduction. We're just gonna get right into it. This episode is jam packed. It's dense. It's full to the gills with content. It's oozing out. It's going to burst. Listen, it's going to... All right. So the first piece of news here, I feel like I'm campaigning against Spotify since the Spotify episode, but this is like something that's funny and interesting that happened over a week ago or something like that, where basically all of a sudden, like, people's Spotify's, if you follow metal, if you follow any like metalcore bands or rock bands or anything like that, all of a sudden you found like all these low effort AI artwork and music just bombarding your new releases stream or new releases notifications. And Spotify has always been, this has been always an issue with Spotify. Like, I cannot name the amount of times where the bands that I follow, all of a sudden I will see a new release from them, and it's like basically some Eastern European techno electronic like artist or DJ that released a song under the same name. So Converge, I remember once, like, I got super excited for no reason. I'm like, listen, I follow Converge News. Why is there a new Converge song? Let me check it out. And it's just like this weird techno song, and I can't remember the other examples. Yeah, I know, they fooled me and they got my streams, dude. So basically, this is, I think, what happened. Like, this guy basically, or I don't know, like, this group hacked into, not hacked to, but yeah, they ended up just managing to release like a bunch of songs under different names. They got a bunch of streams. I don't know if it's ended up being lucrative for them, but it's really worth and interesting to go on YouTube down this path of looking at the AI labels and how like all these low effort AI songs are being released by a bunch of people under different artist names, and they get like millions and millions of streams, and that's how they generate revenue. So
that's insane, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of interesting. Definitely worth checking out. What's happening in Spotify in terms of their poor management of this stuff. All right, let's move on to this next one. This kind of headline kind of resonated with me a little bit, but not exactly what she's saying, but it's funny. Like, I bet she got so much hate. She's going to get so much hate for this headline, which basically Saint Vincent is a popular alternative rock, alternative pop kind of, singer, songwriter, and producer. What you really need to know is that she's endorsed by Music Man. So they this guitar company, this guitar that you see she's holding, that's her signature guitar from a company called Music Man, which has different people in their repertoire as artists. You have John Petrucci, you have Tosin Abasi, who made like a collaboration with them. Very reputable, very well-known name. Really bad name. I really hate the name of that company, Music Man. It's such Music a bad Man? Name. Yeah, it's such a bad name, like Music Man. It's like, oh, what do...
But apparently they make good gear. They make good guitars, from what I know. I've never played one, to be honest. I'd love to, though. Stingray. Yeah,
I mean, if it's good enough for Jean Petrucci, you know, I'm sure it's good enough. It's really good. So she came out with a statement saying, you know, the Fender Strat is labored with the cultural baggage of a history of people trying to play like Jimi Hendrix and sucking. And basically, yeah, it's well known that Jimi Hendrix was like, a Fender player. He had like a right-handed Fender that he reversed, that he basically flipped around because he's a left-handed player, and he strung it up in the wrong way, and basically he played it like, you know, he played a right-handed guitar as a left-handed guitar.
Yeah.
And it became synonymous with Fender, obviously, for Jimi Hendrix, the Jimi Hendrix name.
I wouldn't say though Hendrix was like is the only like face of the Strat. I mean, everybody plays the Strat. You know what I mean? It's,
you can make an argument that because of his name being attached to the Fender, maybe that's why a lot of people gravitated towards the Fender as well.
That's a good argument.
Yeah, you could make a small argument towards that. And I kind of agree with her. But for me, in my personal case, like I've never got into Fenders because I just don't like how vanilla they look and how just like it feels like it's a textbook definition of what a guitar should look like. And those headstocks, honestly, I really don't like them. But there was a recent time where I got like a Fender Telecaster that's called the Troublemaker, and it's pretty unique and interesting. I hadn't since sold that guitar. It's a Japan-made guitar, and it was pretty good. But I just, I tend to agree, like, there's kind of, like, an expectation if you're playing a Fender, then, oh, you're going to try to play, like, Jimi Hendrix or Stevie Ray Vaughan or something like that, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I bet she's going to get a lot of flack for that. In any case, let's move on to the next article here. And if you don't know, Oasis are back, baby. I don't know why I'm
you
saying
don't
that.
Say.
I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm saying that as if I'm the biggest fan of Oasis, but I've literally only started really getting into their discography ever since I heard this. I've always found them too soft for me. Like I've always like when I was growing up, when I was into getting into rock, I've loved heavier stuff. So when I would listen to Champagne Supernova or whatever, like their heaviest song, Rock and Roll Madre-ish, like I just didn't. It didn't, you know, get true. It didn't give me that good feeling that I got from heavier music. So I see what the hype is about for sure. But, you know, I don't get why they are considered like the vanguard of rock and roll. They're pretty poppy sounding to me. They're, you know, I was just telling Mansoor earlier, like, I feel like they're basically defined as Brit rock and maybe soft rock or something like that. But
changed rock in the 90s. I mean, back when everybody was obsessed with grunge and stuff, they came along and changed everything along with all the other British bands, you know, Blur and The Verve and all those guys.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they were playing everywhere. Oasis was like one of the biggest bands in the 90s.
Yeah. In any case, they're back and they have a reunion show. Obviously, apparently the brothers ran out of money and they called each other and they're like, hey, man.
After ripping each other like constantly throughout the years.
Yeah, obviously there's no love between these guys for the past, I don't know how many years. And they're very like honest in their interviews. It's just so funny. If you get the chance, go watch their interviews talking about, I think Liam... mainly talking about like the state, like whenever anybody would ask him about like rock and roll, like, oh, do you listen to any rock and roll? And how like just he's constantly talking down and like talking in a bad way about every other rock band that exists. You know, like Maroon 5, which I agree with him, I guess. But in any case, they're back. And obviously, you know, Ticketmaster or Live Nation? It's Ticketmaster, right?
Ticketmaster, I think.
Yeah. Ticketmaster is right back at it, gouging people as well with their dynamic pricing and like all that stuff. So people are having a hard time getting tickets. I feel like this is dumb, like showcasing the price difference between a long time ago. I mean, dude, 1996, dude, you're not even accounting for inflation at that stage. Like this is like a different time. You cannot like expect that people will charge $17 for a ticket. Although, I will say, I went and I saw High and Fire, along with other bands on the roster. High and Fire is an Academy. Did they win a Grammy? They won a Grammy. They're a Grammy Award winning band. Mm-hmm. I paid $30 for that ticket, and I saw High and Fire live. So, I mean, they're an incredible band, and you know, obviously very legendary in their own. Case, but anyways, I digress. Yanni, I don't know. Maybe
they're
the
awesome
same level,
live, man.
They're
awesome
not the same
live.
Level, though. They're not Oasis, right? Like I guess they are not Oasis, or like Rage Against the Machine, or something like that. You know,
I saw High on Fire play in a university hall.
I don't know why I'm not surprised by that. I feel like, you know, like even for such a big band with such a legendary status and history, like they're still like, they don't have that, like, you know, they big play arenas or anything like that. Cause that's their music doesn't appeal like to that wider of an audience. Right. It's
well, to be fair, it was a long time ago. It was like before they really, really broke, but it was still one of the best shows ever.
Anyways, if you'd like to go see some Britpop, I mean Britrock, I don't know why I'm talking like that. My British accent is horrible.
Yeah, very horrible. Really horrible.
All right, I'll stop. I'm not very good at it. Anyways, if you're gonna, I don't know, go see Oasis, don't see Go Oasis, I really don't care. Anyways, Mansoor, let's go talk about music. All right, dude, what have you been listening to? What's been tickling your ears? What's been in your ear holes this past couple of days?
So, I think I have like three albums here. The first one is from the band Sumac. It's called The Healer. It's a post-metal album. It's pretty good. I really liked it. I'd say it's more in the avant-garde kind of style of post-metal. It's a very long album. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, I think. And it's, even though it's only four songs, but like each song is like, it runs from like 15 to 25 minutes. But there are very long build-ups, and there are like, it's called The Healer. So I feel like there's a concept of like healing and things like that behind it. And the songs tend to be very slow at times, yet, and then they become very fast. There are highs and lows, and sometimes it's very heavy, sometimes it's very soft, and all these mixture of like sounds and emotions. So yeah, it's an interesting album, but it requires like a lot of patience. and a lot of focus.
But I mean, you know who the members of this band are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you know who they are, like, you know, like, okay, you know what you're getting into.
But I have to say, Aaron Turner, the singer, has one of the best, like, low guttural vocals out there.
Sure.
Super underrated.
Fitting. It's fitting for this kind of music and even the previous projects that he was in. But it's like, it's very fitting for this music.
You know, it's if you have that kind of it requires, you know, an open mind, and I do recommend it if you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Sumac. And the other band is called Horse Burner. I listened to their album, Voice of Storms. Well, I kind of have mixed feelings about this, because on the one hand, I like some of the songs on it. On the other hand, I feel like I'm listening to Baroness. Like, I just have to be very, very honest. It sounds like a Baroness album. Although that's not really a bad thing. I love Baroness, but it's just, they sound too similar in my opinion. But again, you know.
Yeah, even the artwork even the artwork kind of looks similar as well.
Yeah, very, very close to the Baroness sound and aesthetic. So yeah, I mean it's a decent album. I'll just put it that way. And I think the last one for this episode, it's Elder live at BBC Maida Vale. This is a live studio recording of from the band Elder at I think a legendary studio, BBC Maida Vale, where many, I think, artists had recorded like legendary legendary performances. This is a three-song effort. Of course, they played some of their longer songs. And if you don't, for those who don't know, Elder is like a proggy kind of sludgy band. And they're one of my favorite. They're awesome. They're one of my favorite bands these days.
That last record they put out is really good. Last record. Yeah.
For those, I'd highly recommend listening to the last album. And seeing them live, I had the pleasure of seeing them live last year. Yeah. They put on a fantastic show, and the you know, when they play live, it's pretty much on par with the album. you know, the sound. They don't maybe deviate too much, but they add some flavor, you know, some solos, some leads here and there. It's pretty cool. So check out this album.
I get the sense they're like one of those bands that sound really good live. Like they have a really good like tone and they sound amazing and the experience sounds amazing, you know, live, you know, like as a live sounding band.
Yeah, definitely. And they pretty much, you know, nailed the songs to the T. And so check them. Check this out, BBC, live at BBC, Made the Veil, and their last album, Innate Passage. Fantastic album. So that's cool for me.
Let me, okay, so I've listened to so much stuff this past week, like, and I'm not going to even, like, there's a lot of stuff I'm leaving out. Maybe I'll talk about it in the next episode or something like that, because I've been listening to so much different stuff, including Oasis, because they just made they announced this reunion. But so I'm just going to highlight a few things very quickly. So in terms of the local scene, there's this band called Massive Scar Era. And if I remember correctly, it's like this Canadian Egyptian kind of artist that plays basically metal music and kind of metal artisan music. And she's been doing like this interesting thing where she released a live album recently where it's like this orchestra that has like this Egyptian kind of string section and stuff like that. This song, yani. The thing is, I think like it touches, it's there. It's almost getting to greatness for me. And there are some great ideas in there, but I just feel like there was parts of it where the execution kind of left me wanting for more. But it's a great track. It's very interesting. It's very different. So I recommend everybody to go check it out and listen to it. It does a great job of mixing like Egyptian folk music with like metal music. And yeah, it's cool. It's really interesting. Go check it out. Cool. In Dubai, there was a couple of bands that released a couple of releases mm-hmm. there. So there's a band called Triton, and they released a song, Blessed by the Grim. And their previous efforts were all right. I listened to them and I thought they were okay. The mix was always kind of, the production was kind of always bogged down. This time around, like the production is a little bit better. It's a little bit, yani, you know, I don't know how else to say it, but it felt the mix felt a little bit unexciting. It was a little bit flat, but the song is interesting. The song is cool as well, and I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing more of their stuff as well. Mm. Cypher, remember Cypher? We talked about them like earlier in a couple of episodes ago. They just released like an EP, and I really liked this band's previous efforts. Like they released the first song we listened together, we really enjoyed it, and we had like some kind of maybe a few comments here and there, but we thought it was great. They released a song that we never talked about in our podcast. It was a single that they released before this EP. That I thought it was really good. It sounded great. And it was a well-written song. And this EP is interesting as well. I recommend everybody to go check it out, listen to it. If you're into bands like Tesseract, if you're into like this modern prog rock kind of genre.
I agree. My favorite song on the album is Relativity of Existence. That was on the EP, sorry. Yeah, that was my favorite one there.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool, like if you're into that progress, like modern prog, Tesseract sounding, you know, Animals as Leaders, you know, kind of sound and vibe, then definitely worth checking out. And the guys are like obviously very, you know, active and really working hard on this stuff. So yeah, definitely worth checking out. In terms of local stuff, the last one I think I'm going to talk about here is Deathless Anguish. So this Deathless Anguish is a local death metal, as far as I know, solo act based out of Saudi by a gentleman. His name is Kamal. Yeah.
Is it solo? Is it a one-man band?
It's a one-man band. Kamal, the guy from, he's the bassist in Sound of Ruby. Okay, his name is Kamal.
I didn't know that.
This is his like solo project. He's, you know, as far as I know, it's him only on doing everything. So a great death metal track. If you're into old school death metal, definitely go check it out. This is as old school and as it pays respect to that era, that old era of death metal for sure.
Kind of more being towards grindcore, I felt at times.
Oh, really? I don't know. Maybe because in my mindset going into this track, I know that Kamal is a big fan of Morbid Angel and death metal and like this. I'm just expecting death metal. I was hearing death metal, like just all the, you know, like the different aspects of what a typical death metal song sounds like. I didn't feel the grindcore element of it, but I wouldn't be surprised. There is a bit of grooviness, right? Like this track has like, like towards the end, there's like an interesting aspect there. But anyways, all right, I need to get through these very quickly as well. So there was a couple of releases that happened this week as well. Okay, so Oceano released a new album. I thought it was okay. I don't know. I was listening to it. I felt like it was kind of underwhelming. Maybe I need to listen to it one more time. There's a band called Same To Here. The Grave. There's a band called To The Grave that released an album called Everyone's Murder. A very interesting band. They're like a death metal vegan animal rights band out of Australia. So all the songs are about like animal rights and things like that. And I mean, it was okay. It was one of those things where I talked about it in the last episode where I feel like, you know, you're doing too much with the songs in terms of like creating like this kind of deathcore sound and ends up just being, you know, not as impressive. Like, you know what I mean? But it was cool. It was an interesting listen. In terms of releases that I really liked, Throne released an album. I'll be honest, when I first heard, like they released a couple of singles from this album before the album dropped, and I was kind of underwhelmed. I was like, ugh, it's like this weird modern metal, like whatever, what do you want to call it? Metalcore, metal, whatever.
Sounds like new metal to me. I heard like some songs.
So this is the part where I really liked it. This is why I enjoyed this record, because I went into it and I just realized how groovy and how interesting and how like they're doing things that are really cool and new metal sounding, but like with this heavy kind of metalcore sound as well. I thought it was really interesting. Like, I feel like this is a great album to listen to at the gym as well. So I'm looking forward to my next session at the gym or like when I'm out for a run.
This is definitely gym music.
It's just like, it's so groovy and so catchy and like really, and heavy at the same time as well. Well-produced as well. Very interesting. Finally, Teeth released their album, The Will of Hate. And I just love this record. It's so good. Like, I really enjoyed this death metal record. And the only thing I will say is that the last song on this record is so good. I wish they did more of what they did on that last song on the record and like implemented more of like these different kind of groovy elements and like, you know, almost, you know, like breakdowny sounding groovy elements. But all in all, I really like this record. It's so heavy and it's so dark and I just really enjoyed it. But yeah, that's it in terms of what I've been listening to or what we've been listening to recently. All right, I guess let's talk about the thing, like the album or the record that we want to highlight for this week. Mansoor, why don't you tell us? Well, I think it's so interesting. This is the first week I think where we both have the same record as our highlight, right?
There's an overlap.
There's a Venn diagram.
That's where
me and Mansoor meet in the middle. And that record and album and band is Nails.
That's Nails finally released their new album. We kind of reviewed them a couple of times. I think we're a bunch of Nails fanboys. They just released their latest album, Every Bridge Burning. You know, as Abdullah said before, Nails is like a very straight to the point, cut the fat type of metal band. And this album is definitely follows on that kind of tradition. the songs are super heavy, super fast, and it's a very short in length. It's like less than 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's literally 18 minutes. Let me see here. Yeah, it's 17 minutes in length.
17 minutes long. Yeah. And you have songs that are literally less than a minute. But there are also songs with like conventional structure, like timings, like 3-minute long songs. And those are some of the best songs I heard from them. Overall, it's just it's a fun album to listen to. If you want something quick and heavy, and that satisfies that kind of need, this is a great album. Lots of riffs. And, you know, there's diversity. It's like in those songs, weird enough, there is like, you can identify each song
Oh, no, no, definitely. There's like an element in this album where you feel like Nails are going a little bit out of their, I don't know, I don't want to say comfort zone. It's not like they're doing like a jazz fusion parts or anything like that. But like, it is like some tracks you listen to, you're like, oh, really? This is interesting that Nails are doing this now.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm just so happy that after, you know, this long, how many, 8 years now? It's been 8 years since their last full-length album. They released a LP that has a song featuring Max Cavalera like a few years ago. But I don't know, that's like, it was only three songs or something like that. But this, I'm just so happy that we have a full-length album from Nails. Again, I agree with you. I just love the aggression, the speed, the way they integrate different elements of hardcore, grindcore, and even like leaning towards power violence with that tone and sound that they have. Again, this record mixed and produced at God City Instruments with Kurt Ballou, once again in a studio with Kurt Ballou, the guitarist from Converge and the guy that mixed and produced multiple records that we both love. But in any case, like this record, if it sounds better and like the guitar tones and the everything sounds even more aggressive and sound much better than somehow, you know, it's a really high bar to top from their previous record. And yeah, like you said, like, you know, songs like Give Me the Painkiller, like really show you how, like, you know, they're willing to experiment now a little bit with different sounds. I mean, the entire record, by the way, feels like, I don't know if you agree with me, but it feels a little bit tighter. They're not as loose and as grindcore and as like frenetic as the, you know, You'll Never Be One of Us or even the LP that they released, where like Todd, the guitarist and lead singer, like just like plays that, like these really fast and like loose riffs, like going all over the fretboard and things like that. This one felt more structured. They're more leaning towards their kind of, I don't know, more traditional punk sounding riffs and maybe thrash metal riffs and things like that.
Yeah, there's some groove and there's some thrash, and it's the riffs are tighter, definitely on this one.
But still grindcore as hell. Like, it's still like grindcore, power violence, and aggressive as hell. I really like this record. In terms of, you know, all right, so since we were such fanboys of Nails, though, I hate to do this, but, you know, for me, you know, how would you rank this record on the spectrum of Nails records in terms of the rankings?
Oh, maybe, you know, maybe it's tier two, I would say. I mean,
so You'll Never Be One tier of one us is You'll Never Be One of Us is for you, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean,
this is a close contender with that.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm gonna enjoy it more as I listen to it. That's how good this is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I really love this record. I really enjoyed it a lot. But for me, you know, it's, I don't know, I just love You'll Never Be One of Us so much that nothing is gonna top that for me right now. And even, this definitely is for me like second place right now because of just how unique and interesting for it is as a Nails record. But then, you know, definitely then Abandon All Life and On Silent Death comes, you know, after that. I mean, these are the only, you know, full length records, I guess. But yeah, like for me, it's these two kind of tie, they tie for like second place or something like that, you know?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Anyways, Nails. Burning, every bridge burning. And obviously Todd is like, I don't know if you've read the lyrics. It's all about like abandoning friends and backstabbers and, you know, people who talk smack about you behind your back. Like, it's obviously like this guy, like, listen.
Very personal.
I'm not going to get into it now because I don't think we have time for that. But like, if you go read about Nails and his little kind of arguments and back and forth with metalsucks.com. It's really unfair how like his band and him have been portrayed. And I get the sense that it's the kind of thing that made him, you know, it got to him and it made him kind of go into a bit of a, you know, I don't know, seclusion or whatever you want to say.
Full disclosure, I don't know anything about them and like whatever their history is and their personal lives. So this, I have to check that out.
Yeah, check it out. It's interesting to see that. The other thing I will very quickly say about this record, if there's one thing that I will say, like I was disappointed by, is that it doesn't have the same level of intricate transitions that the previous record had. The previous record had some really, really cool transitions. Like if you listen to every song, had like some interesting transition from like this power violence, like fast, aggressive stuff into like these like slower breakdown parts that are just heavy and aggressive. And I feel like the key element that's missing there is I forgot his name, but I think the drummer whose name was Taylor Jones or something. Like he's also a famous producer in the scene. But I feel like he was the one like that was a genius at that and developing those kind of transitions. So, but in any case, definitely a record worth checking out. It'll only take 17 minutes of your time. Play it at the gym. Play it at work. You know, get pissed off, and enjoy some nails.
Nice.
Anyways, all right, Mansoor, we have a pretty dense topic to talk about today.
And
it's an interesting one. I named this segment. I called it "Breaking the Status Quo." "Breaking the Status Quo" is the new status quo, and the reason why I say that is something that was triggered by a article that I saw that was shared by our friends in a band called Meta Rust. And okay, yeah, before we get into this topic, by the way, guys, this is by no means a kind of a criticism of the bands themselves. We're not talking about the bands. We're not talking about them specifically. We're just talking about, you know, the narrative and the conversation that's being used to discuss bands and, you know, musicians and music in general here in the from the Middle East and from Saudi and from Emirates. So the article that I saw was by The National, a UAE-based newspaper, news outlet. It's very well known there. I remember during my college days and university days, I used to always read it. In any case, they mentioned that Emirati metal band Meta Rust on disrupting the status quo and going global. And there's a couple of things that made me like kind of, you know, it made me want to talk about this, is that it seems like every time the news outlets or anybody does coverage of metal, alternative music from the Middle East, from Saudi, from Emirates, they always talk about how it's breaking the status quo. And I understand for Saudi how it could be breaking the status quo. I mean, let's be honest, like in Saudi Arabia, even the CEO of the Music Commission himself, Paul Pacifico, in a conference in Singapore a year ago or something like that, talked about how in Saudi, his challenge is that we went from a country that banned music being played in speakers out in public like 6 years ago to now it is a mandatory part of the curriculum. And we have a challenge of teaching, having teachers and people, educators to develop that sector. So I understand that definitely there is, you know, this burgeoning is still growing. So there's a little element of, oh, you know, things are still, it's, you know, a new, brave new world for us. But I was really surprised to see this article coming out of the UAE or in the Emirates. Because if you think about it, the status quo, if you're talking about metal music and rock music in the Emirates, it's been broken a long time ago, since like 2004, since the early 2000s and the mid 2000s with desert rock. You know, you're talking about festivals that invited bands like Mastodon, Testament, Machine Head, Sepultura, Megadeth, Iron Maiden, all these big names that you would never have expected to see in the Middle East were brought to Dubai. And Dubai is like at the forefront. They at like breaking the status quo when it comes to metal and rock music. And during that time, I remember when I was there, there were so many local bands as well that were playing in the local scene there. And we've had local gigs were being played constantly in Dubai by local bands and international bands. So like the status quo was broken a long time ago.
So and do you feel like the writer didn't do his research?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't do the research. Maybe they just felt like it's a sexy kind of headline to write. And, oh, you know, this band that's based out of the Emirates, or they're Emirati. I don't know. I know that they're not all Emirati, I think. But maybe some of them are Emiratis.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, maybe because they're Emirati nationals, some of them. So they felt like it's an interesting headline to write. But, man, the band is worth much more than that. If you go listen to Metarust, they're a really interesting metal band that does things differently. And if you're, you know... and you're kind of just like reducing the narrative to, and oh, look at this novel, interesting, cute little band that's playing, you know, aggressive music out of the Middle East or in the UAE or in Saudi. You know, look at this novel concept. Oh, you know, they're playing metal music. When in fact, up until recently, there are gigs that are inviting. So I think in September, Unearth. And there's a band called, I forgot their name. Anyways, there's a couple of bands that are coming to Dubai as well to play, like a gig there. And like, there are constantly, I'm seeing like new local bands that are coming out of the UAE. So Svengali is one of them. We've always talked about Svengali. And others as well. So, you know, I feel like in Emirates, like, I'm surprised to see this kind of article and headline come out, since I get the sense that the status quo has been broken there a long, long time ago. And there's no need to have this conversation. This tired narrative about metal bands and rock bands that are from Saudi or from the Emirates and that are breaking the status quo. And oh, they because they play this music, they're breaking the status quo, and they're novel and they're interesting.
Yeah, man. Dubai has always been a great place for like this kind of music and different kinds of music, to be honest. There's a great music scene happening there. You know, the ones you've mentioned, Desert Rock Festival, that happened a couple of times before. All the Lacuna Coil came and played a few years ago with
Wasted Land opened for them.
But exactly, our buddies Wasted Land. Okay. So, you know, I think if you read this article, it's interesting. They're saying they want to make Dubai the center of like the metal
hub scene,
of the scene, which is fair enough. Honestly, I, you know, that's, you know, more power to them if they can do that. It's an interesting thing to think about. I'm personally kind of, maybe this is where the Venn diagram we talked about kind of becomes two different circles, but I'm kind of neutral towards this. But yeah, I mean, as you said, Dubai has always had like a metal scene, and you know, and like record shops, I think they're still sell like metal records. It's
there's a record shop there that's totally dedicated to like metal records. Metal East. They're called Metal East. Yeah.
Metal East. There you go. I mean, a lot of bands also came from there. Well-known bands like Nerve Cell.
Oh, there we go.
You know, all those bands, and they toured internationally. They put Dubai on the map as well.
I mean, listen, I'm not saying like it's the end of the world. Like, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, it's not that extreme, right? But it's just an interesting thought exercise to think about, you know, how, you know, why are we still, you know, it's been going on for, actually, I would even argue, even in Saudi, like on the underground level as well, it's been going on for over a decade now. And we're still talking about breaking the status quo. I mean, you know, let's take example of the Saudi as an example as well. So again, you know, you're seeing, you know, news articles that are coming out now talking about how, you know, whenever there's coverage about like a metal band, and again, this is not a criticism of the bands themselves, okay? And we're just talking about how the coverage that takes place around this music that we really enjoy and we're passionate about. So, you know, Immortal Pain, for example, the last article I remember reading about them was about how, you know, Immortal Pain is the first Saudi band to play metal publicly, and that was in Comic Con. That was the coverage of that. Talking about how they are the first Saudi metal band to play publicly, which I don't know if this is true. I don't know if maybe like there were a couple of gigs that happened before that, but maybe it is true. Maybe that's not the point. The point is that the coverage of that was mainly focused about how it's the first and how, oh, look, you know, Saudi now, you know, they're, you know, they have metal music and look at how novel it is now that we, that, you know, that the Saudis and they have metal musicians and metal, and like that's the Western kind of coverage of that. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, come on, yani, we've had one of the biggest music festivals take place here in Saudi in 2019, Middle Beast, and it's been happening every year. And we've even invited Metallica to come and perform at this big festival. I feel like the status quo khalas has been broken, and we cannot keep talking about metal musicians and rock musicians and even just, you know, your regular pop musicians anymore here that come out of this region in a way where it's like, oh, this like novelty of breaking cultural norms and breaking the status quo.
But hold on for a second. I mean, wasn't there an article on Sound of Ruby and their history, you know, playing here and stuff, like Sound of Ruby being the local band, of course, as you all know, there was an article on them just a few days ago that was released, yes. I think.
That's a good example of a good article that was written about them. So like this was, last week or a couple of weeks ago, we covered Sound of Ruby and Strangers, where both Arab News was Sharq al-Awsat. Sharq al-Awsat did like a nice profile on Sound of Ruby, where they talked about their history, they talked about how many albums they have, how many songs, what are their influences, who are the band members, and they interviewed them and asked them questions. And it was a really nice article. It wasn't saying, you know, it wasn't talking about how, oh, look at this psychedelic rock band or like this grunge rock band that is, you know, that is Saudi and, you know, they're breaking the status quo and breaking the norms in Saudi Arabia. No, they're just, you know, this band existed for 20 years and they've had many albums and 70 songs and I don't know what. Check them out. Go check them out. Listen to them. They're interesting. They're good. You know?
Yeah.
That was a good example. Unlike this, which is, this is this other example that I'm going to pull up now. Sira at some point had this barrage of coverage on, you know, I pulled one example here from the Economic Times, but this is basically the headline that of every news outlet that covered them, like in the past couple of in the past months or so. I mean, this article, when did this come out? Just to make sure, yeah, in May. So around that time, there was a sudden, you know, intense coverage of this band, and it's all about. And keep in mind, at that point, they've had a couple of singles to their name, and they had a couple of multiple live shows. So they played live shows. They have a couple of singles in their discography, and all the articles kept talking about is how they're an all-women psychedelic rock band that's challenging the norms, that is challenging the country norms, that is challenging I don't know what, dude. We have, like I said, since 2019, we've been holding music festivals and we've broken these like this barriers towards music being played live. Yes, I get it. It's new to us and it's something that's new and it's something that's being developed and all of that. But I think it's time to move on from this conversation about how it is. It is like you know, it's weird. Oh, you know, like oh, these people that are living in Saudi that are from the desert, that are now playing music and things like that. I think the reason my point here is that it's unfair for the musicians because it ends up the narrative ends up becoming about how you know, there's not a lot of the big market for it. Oh, these are very like strange, you know, irregular people that are in this society. Like, you know, people that play rock and metal are very far and few. There's not a big market for it. There's not a lot of following for it. So, you know, like, don't invest in this area. And when you come to Saudi, don't look at this area. Don't look at rock. Don't look at metal. It's not that big. It's not happening. When in fact, like, there's a huge following for it. A lot of people are into it. And, you know, whenever these gigs happen, a lot of people end up going to it, and they go to any stranger's gig, go to any Sound of Ruby whenever they hold a gig, go to any Sierra gig. They close house, basically. They fill up the entire house whenever they hold a gig. So it's just, I feel like it's unfair. And doubly so for new generation of pop or female artists. I mean, you know, to be honest, like, this is a new ground for them, right? Like, there's not many at this stage. And, you know, that's, again, because of the fact that, you know, music has become the norm and has become kind of a normal part of our society now here in Saudi since, you know, just recently, let's say 6 years ago. But I think khalas, at this stage, you know, we've already started seeing like multiple pop artists, females, males, rock artists. The narrative khalas should switch now. Let's talk about, you know, where are they touring? What are they doing? What's the album that's coming out? Who are they? It's very simple. Listen, here's all I'm saying. All right. Listen, let's wrap this up. All right. I'll tell you what I think we should do. news outlets, press. You have one more year to get it out, okay? Get this narrative about, like, these sexy headlines about how, oh, we're breaking the cultural norms and we're doing all this interesting stuff and we're breaking the barriers and because we're playing this music or because we're artists and things like that. You have one more year to do this. But after that,
you're giving them an arbitrary timeline here.
One more year, just one more year. you just let it out. Let it out. You know, let it all out. And then when you come back, it's really simple. When you interview artists, when you talk about artists, all you have to do is ask them about how they started, what are their influences, what do they play. What do they like to play? What's their new album? Any interesting projects coming out? Oh, you have a new album. You have a new single coming out. What is that going to sound like? All right. How can we follow you? How can people find out more? That's it. That's all you need to do.
And maybe honest reviews of the music itself. Like, say if you think it's a good album or a bad album or a good song, like, you know, as, you know, being, you know, we're also musicians here and we like honest reviews of music. You know, we like to see if a band is doing well or not. It's not an indictment on us if you give us a bad review. You know what I mean? It's honest reviews are helpful.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually one key thing missing, is that, you know, outlets or people, I mean, I don't know about, like, if anybody was going to go read the news to see, like, music reviews, maybe. I mean, why not? But yeah, we don't have enough people that, like, sit down and, like, review and talk about music in an honest way, in a constructive way. I think what's happening right now is because the scene is so small. And wow, this could be a different topic on its own, by the way. But the scene is so small and we're so all connected and we all want to support each other and we all want to help each other that we really don't want to bring down anyone or talk negatively about anyone in a way that will kind of discourage them or reflect badly on us or on them or something like that. However, being honest and being critical is the only way to progress. And you cannot progress if everybody is making great music. Like, you know, like how we talk about, like, local artists and local releases in our highlights or in music. You know, sometimes we'll say, oh, you know, the mix could be better. Like, I don't know if anybody else does that, honestly. Like, I'm not sure, you know, maybe there are some other people that review music and talk about it in music, local music in that way. But that's the thing that helps progress and helps people improve.
Yeah, see, I agree. Like, I've had multiple people come up to, like, my band and tell us, you know, give us their critiques, and, you know, there were no hard feelings. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's, yeah, you know, we all know what we're doing, but sometimes it's good to have honest feedback.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good showcase of, you know, like, when you take feedback and you take criticism, it's just a good showcase of character, confidence as well. And you will improve you know? Nobody, not everybody can be great, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of, there has to be competition, and you have to know, and you have to, like, hear what people think and stuff like that.
But you know what, man? I'm the kind of person who gives, like, the benefit of the doubt to anyone, like most people. Just my nature, because it is quite a young industry, so everything feels new, you know what I mean? Which in for me, it's a positive thing, because it just comes to show how there's still, you know, it's still a fertile ground for creativity and all that. But yeah, I think I'd love to see personally more honest reviews and criticisms, and like as you said, like more of an kind of an talk about the music itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So in conclusion, Mansoor, news outlets, press, you have one more year. Just one more year of getting out these headlines.
The Muzaj rule. Otherwise, Hizajkum.
Yeah, exactly. One more year. One more year of that stuff, and then خلاص. Let's just do normal coverage of bands, talk about their music, talk about their profile. Go to Sheikh Lawson. Look at what they did with Sound of Ruby. That was a great article. Let's do stuff more like that. Let's do more stuff like that.
Anyway. Awesome.
I think that's it for us, Mansoor. You got anything else to add? Anything else before we wrap this up?
No, thank you for listening. Do follow us. You know, like, share, and subscribe. You'll find us on Anghami, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, the whole shebang. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.
Yeah, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking it out with us here. And we'll see you guys next week.